Alors, Laura.
Tu sais, les différences dans les langues m'ont toujours intriguée. Differences in languages have always intrigued me. Tu sais, dire la même chose avec une image différente. To say the same thing with a different image.
Sí, estoy de acuerdo. Los idiomas utilizan muchas imágenes para transmitir ideas, por ejemplo, poesía. Mis formas favoritas de figuras literarias son las metáforas. I agree completely. Languages use a lot of images to convey meaning. For example, poetry. You know, my favorite forms of linguistic images are metaphors.
Tu sais, la première expression qui me vient à l'esprit est tourner autour du pot. The first expression that comes to mind is, en anglais, we don't say tourner autour du pot, but we say to beat around the bush, which is completely different in translation. Tourner autour du pot means to spin around the pot. To beat around the bush, well, you know what that means. So you see, it's two different images that come to our mind, but they mean the exact same thing. Je comprends both expressions meaning to be hesitant about something, not to be sure. ¿Cómo es qu'on dit en español?
Bueno, decimos andarse por las ramas, which literally means to walk on the branches. O también decimos andarse con rodeos. Andarse con rodeos means to go on rodeos, when you're not really being direct, you're just sort of on the sidelines with something. You're being very subtle.
Tu sais, d'autres expressions comme en français, on dit on monte dans l'avion. To say to get on the plane. Because we physically get in the airplane. Dans means in. So when we say on monte dans l'avion, we get in the airplane. But en anglais, in English, we say to get on the plane. Un autre exemple, un film joue à la télé, which translates to at the TV, with the accent, à la télé. A movie plays on TV. So again, in English, we use on. En français, if we say on the TV, we mean on top of the TV. So to use on, we can say the movie joue sur l'écran. Sur means on, to translate on the screen. Well, French is a very descriptive language, meaning precise. Que se passe-t-il en espagnol? What happens in Spanish?
Bueno, en español decimos montarse al avión, like in French, to basically mount the plane. Like you're riding a horse or something like that. ¿Y hay una película en el televisor o hay una película en la televisión? There is a movie in the TV.
Oh.
¿Están mostrando una película en el televisor? ¿Están mostrando una película en la televisión? They're showing a movie in the TV.
Tu sais, un autre exemple, quand on dit monter à l'étage, we are saying going upstairs. Et monter à l'étage is not really a mistake, but it's obvious that if you go up, you're going to be up the stairs. So it's like we repeat ourselves. We say c'est une redondance.
Ah, una redundancia, a redundancy. Danos otro ejemplo. Give us another example, please.
Un autre exemple, par exemple, demander une question. On ne dit pas demander une question. On dit poser une question ou demander quelque chose. Parce que demander, to ask something, quelque chose. On ne peut pas demander une question. C'est une autre redondance.
Decimos lo mismo en español. We say the same thing in Spanish. We cannot ask to ask a question, preguntar una pregunta. We say hacer una pregunta, literally to make a question.
Ah, tu vois, un autre verbe pour exprimer la même
correcto,
chose.
Correcto,
correcto. Oui, tu vois. Tu sais, I just read something really neat about a French expression that I used a lot when I was a kid. Est-ce jeter ou donner la langue au chat, which translates to throw or give your tongue to the cat. And you know, it means to give up finding a solution. And because your tongue is the organ of speech, so when you give your tongue to the cat, you lose the ability to speak and you give up on a solution. And you know, I read that the cat is the keeper of secrets, and so that's why they use the animal cat.
Qué interesante, qué interesante. Tiene sentido. It definitely makes sense. You know, en español también evitamos las redundancias. We also avoid redundancies in the Spanish language. Decimos subir o bajar, en vez de subir arriba o bajar abajo. Instead of saying go upstairs or go down the stairs, we just simply say subir o bajar.
Et un autre mot que je trouve très intéressant, another word that I find interesting, est-ce que tu savais, did you know, en français, quicksand is le sable mouvant. It doesn't speak of the speed with which the sand swallows you, like quick, but it describes a situation. Le sable mouvant translates to the sand that stirs. The stirring sand. Tu te souviens, you remember, earlier I was saying that French is a descriptive language, so it describes the situation.
Lo mismo en español, en Spanish también se dice de la misma manera, arena movediza, moving sand. Now this reminds me of another expression, estar entre la espada y la pared, estar entre la espada y la pared, to be between the sword and the wall, or as they say in English, to be between a rock and a hard place. ¿Cómo se dice en francés?
En français, on dit entre l'enclume et le marteau, between the anvil and the hammer. You know, it's while learning another language that you notice these differences. French language is based on patterns, and I know we hear that about a lot of languages, but for example, we look at the ending of a verb to guess the tense in which it is conjugated and who conjugates it. Par exemple, si tu veux dire tomorrow I will go to the post office, you know that the verb is going to end on R-A-I because you conjugate it with je and it's in the plural. So you're going to say demain j'irai à la poste. Un autre exemple, demain j'aurai une nouvelle voiture. You see, you heard again that R-A-I, which announces future conjugate with je, which is I. Donc, demain j'aurai une nouvelle voiture, translate to tomorrow, I will have a new car. Demain, to say tomorrow I will take the train to Paris, we know we're going to hear ré, and so you say demain je prendrai le train pour Paris. If instead of je, I conjugated the verb with tu, which is you singular, the ending will be different but the same for all the verbs. So when you conjugate with tu in the future, the ending is R-A-S, pronounced ra. So you will go is tu iras, you will have, tu auras, you will take, tu prendras. Le R, the R, announces the future tense. What comes after depends on the subject. Je, tu, il, nous, vous, il.
En español utilizamos el tiempo presente para indicar acciones futuras. Also, like you were saying about patterns and things like that. por ejemplo, voy a la oficina postal mañana. Literally, I go to the post office tomorrow. But you really mean I'm going or I will go to the post office tomorrow.
Tu sais, en français, in French, we do that too. And the difference is, if you want to be formal, like when you write a letter, you will have to use the future tense when you express future. But when you speak between friends, like if I wanted to say, tomorrow I come to your house, tomorrow I will come to your house, we should say. But we will say, demain je viens chez toi, tomorrow I come to your house. I think you even do that in English to some extent.
Right. Now, interestingly enough, in Spanish, that verb, to go, is the most complex as far as the conjugation and as far as tenses. For anyone trying to learn Spanish, I warn you, this is easily one of the most challenging verbs, but one of the most important ones to learn. Because not only does it sound different, the spelling also looks different. It depends on, you know, which tense you're using it. And I have a feeling that it's the same thing in French and actually in English too. Oui. Why it is that way, I don't know.
It's a very irregular verb.
It well, sure
you
is.
Know, our auxiliaries, you know, the verb être et avoir, to be and to have, which are used to form other tenses like passé composé, passé antérieur. These two auxiliaries, to be and to have, are the most irregular verbs. And so, yeah, you have to just memorize them and you just repeat them over and over and over the years.
Right. One thing I would probably recommend to learners is definitely to incorporate repetition in context, in the context maybe of a story, in the context of a song,
absolutely,
in the context of something that you can identify with, and that will definitely help the memorization process. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoy recording it.
And absolutely.
Please write to us and let us know what you would like best and what you would like to learn in future episodes.
Oui, nous voulons vous entendre. Our email address is speakfrenchandspanish@gmail.com. You can also like us on Facebook.
And you can also find us on Twitter and Instagram under our handle, French4Spanish. And from us, we say,
a la prochaine!
Hasta la próxima!